You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 153 for January 29th, 2015.
Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about running every single week. In case you're new to the show, we come to you from Northern California. And what do we have this week? We're going to talk a little running news, talk a little bit about becoming a morning runner, and we're going to catch up on some messages and email, big feedback section at the end, because last week we just spent the entire time on Star Wars. So this was kind of our the post-Star Wars half marathon void week.
There we go.
Kind of a letdown week, right? Coming off of Star Wars, it's kind of tough to...
It's like, oh, back to the to normal the routine.
Yeah. So let's jump right into it. So what's been going on with you?
I've been running.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's good, right? So pretty much sticking...
It would be really sad if you hadn't run.
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Right. So I was a little slow on that one.
Okay.
So pretty much sticking to my training plan for Boston, with one exception that I'm embarrassed and disappointed to say, but I skipped my long run of 14 miles this past weekend.
Okay.
For what reason? No good reason at all. I was, I think, just plain and simply lazy.
Awesome.
I'll just be honest. I just, you know, I had it planned. Woke up in the morning. I was like, ah, oh, man, I really don't feel like going. I'm like, that's okay. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go brush my teeth. And then I just went back to bed. It's like, and I thought, I was like, oh, I can just go later because it's not going to be hot. I'll just go later. By the way, that never works for me. Mm-hmm. That just go later thing, it turns into... It doesn't happen. So, but I had, you know, fully convinced myself I'll just go later, and I didn't go, and that was it. But I've been good with all my other training, mm-hmm. runs, cross training, you know, gotten on the bike a couple times. I've done a couple days of yoga, a little bit of the Stairmaster weights. I've done all of that, but I completely skipped it. But I'm going to try not to let it, you know, like hang over my head and mm-hmm. just move on with the training program.
I mean, it's just one run. It's one not run. A big deal.
I know, but you know, like, I'm like, well, what if I do this every weekend? I'm not going to do that every weekend. But you know, at the time, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like, why did I skip it? Like, there was no reason. I did. So, but other than that, it's been pretty good. I've been doing a little bit of speed work, not too much, but I have some of it built into my plan. So tempo run here, hill run there. I did have an interesting, I'm talking about the gym a lot lately, mm-hmm. but I've just had interesting stuff happen there. So, had a water bottle accident on the treadmill. So just I'm curious if anybody else has had something like this happen to them. So running on the treadmill, doing just fine, grabbed the water bottle, went to squeeze some water into my mouth. And for some reason I aimed it straight to the back of my throat, which is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And now I had a mouth full of water and I couldn't swallow, and I was nowhere near anything to like spit it out, and I was running so quick, like moment of panic of like, what do I do? And before I knew it, it all came out right onto the treadmill screen. So
you were just washing it
yeah.
off.
Yeah, there you go. I did clean it off, by the way. I used the spray and all that stuff, but it just like came out. And then of course I was like choking and coughing. And so I had to like stop. And you know, of course, what do? You like look around, right? Like who saw that? And there's actually only like two other people that were around at the time. And I don't think they even noticed. So, mm-hmm. or if they did, they didn't really pay that much attention. So that's a first and hopefully a last. Mm-hmm. And that was, now I'm being like paranoid when I drink water at any point. I'm just, I got to make sure I don't choke. So
you're going to start hitting stop on the treadmill, stepping
off. Hold on, I'm going to drink my water. Yeah, exactly. I think it's been a while since I mentioned the activity streak mm-hmm. that I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned it since we talked about our goals for 2015.
Okay.
So one of my goals was to do 30 minutes of physical activity every single day, minimum of 30 minutes. So I've actually kept to that as of January 29th. So it's been varying things. A lot of times it's running. And of course it could be more than 30 minutes, but I've been doing at least 30 minutes every day. So I'm happy about that. I'm going to try to keep that up. Thanks.
I mean, honestly, I think it's awesome that you've been able to keep it up basically for the entire month of January.
Yeah.
So it's a good start.
Yeah. So if I can keep that going all year, I would be really thrilled. So, I think that's all I have. So your turn.
My week, I threw up up on the...
You threw
the,
up?
No, actually, I didn't. Oh. That came out wrong. I put up on the running log a nice, big, fat donut, I guess you could call it. I ran no miles last week. So Yeah, you were talking about blowing off a run. I basically blew off the entire week.
And always trying to one-up me, huh?
And honestly, I don't really know why. I think maybe I'll just go with the laziness theme.
Yeah.
That you mentioned. Or I think in some ways it was kind of, you know, running Star Wars Half Marathon weekend down at Disneyland was a lot of fun. And it was kind of, you know, a hyped up weekend mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff going on. And I think literally just coming home and kind of the void of that and the post-race kind of downer after that. You know, it just kind of left me kind of, you know, I just ran two races on the weekend, just, you know, back-to-back races. There was no real reason to kind of get out there and really log any miles. And I just was lazy for the week. So, yeah, that was my week.
Okay.
Not very productive or awesome. Some of the other things from the week, I received a race survey for a race I did not run, which I always find that interesting and just weird. So, you know, it's funny when you get on a race email list and you just stay on that list forever. So it is a race I did in the past, but I definitely did not do it this year. So I don't know why they're sending me a survey. I did not complete the survey, obviously. Although I should have taken a look if I could have just put, you know, NA, NA, NA for everything and then got to the end and just say, I didn't run the race, you know. So did that. The other thing I want to mention, our year in some ways, I think we'll be sharing kind of today and then in coming weeks, our plans for the year in terms of races are kind of coming together mm-hmm. somewhat better, trying to figure out what we're doing. One race that we registered for was Ragnar Napa Valley, mm-hmm. which I'm sure surprises no one because this will be our fifth year running it.
Right.
So we'll be...
And it's the fifth year of the race.
Fifth year of the race. We've done it every year. So we signed up early. They had, I don't even know if it's open, regular registration is even open.
I don't think
yet.
It is.
So they start out with VIP registration, which is basically if you've done the race in the past 2 years, you're supposed to get the email that invites you to VIP registration, which is just early reg. I think they take a couple bucks off mm-hmm. for doing it super early. So signed up for that. So we're going to be back. And I'm kind of calling this my last Ragnar Napa. So this is going to be my farewell race to Ragnar Napa. So just having done it 5 years and actually being team captain and kind of coordinating all that stuff for 5 years, I'm just kind of done with it.
Time to move on.
With it. Just time to move on. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I won't go back and possibly run it in future years on other people's teams. But I think this will probably be the last year that I take on role as captain and mm-hmm. coordinator and putting all that stuff together. So I'm going to approach the race when we go to it as my final one, whether it will be or not as a runner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But having run it 5 times, or this will be the 5th time, it'll be interesting because last year I ran the most miles, ran the longest legs,
mm-hmm.
or the longest, was the longest runner, I guess you could say, and I ran the longest leg.
Yeah.
And a few of the years I've actually run extra legs, so I've already logged a lot of miles out on this course. So after 5 years, you know, I'd be curious to see if I could figure out exactly how many miles I've logged on this course.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, just out of curiosity. Yeah. Because I really don't know off the top of my head, but it's just something to think about. So.
Although they're probably going to be making some slight changes to the course. So
yeah,
be
every year
to see.
It tweaks a little bit,
and it's a different month. I don't know if we mentioned that before. The date's completely different.
Good point. So it's normally in September, and they're mm-hmm. actually moving it to October.
Yeah.
So that actually kind of worked out worse for some of our teammates.
Yeah.
But is
no,
what it
no
is.
No difference with us.
Yeah. 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 To me, it really didn't make any difference. Although October is kind of it's kind of mid October or late October,
mm-hmm.
and October is a big marathon month.
Yeah.
So
October is a busy racing month.
Yeah. You know, a lot of those kind of fall marathons, you know, Chicago's in October, a lot of other ones. So I don't know if that's going to be a problem for some people, but yeah, we'll be back out there for that one. Also just want to officially say, did sign up for Badger Cove Half Marathon, mm-hmm. which is a trail race. I said, I'm going for the series. You're going to do the series.
Yep.
It's actually been on our calendar, but we officially sent in the actual registration mm-hmm. Just recently.
Haven't gotten the confirmation yet.
That's right.
But we sent it in. Yeah, but we did send it in.
We did send it in. So, yeah. All right. Is that it for my week? I think, yeah, I can't really add any more to it since I didn't really run. So let's move on. Just want to mention some recent races, just to kind of highlight them, the names. You know, we mentioned these races that kind of go on for the weekend just because it might trigger, you know, a race that you might want to do mm-hmm. or get you thinking about something. So R&R Arizona, race that we've done in the past. Houston Marathon, Foster City 10 Miler, which is actually kind of local for us. I want to do that at some point in time, but it's never worked out on the calendar.
Yeah.
Carlsbad Marathon, another race I want to do someday. Prairie Dog Half Marathon, Louisiana Marathon, R&R New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and Hot Chocolate Atlanta, and Miami Marathon. So it's been a busy month.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because sometimes I think January is kind of a lull, but
I think it's actually
not.
A good time for some of the hotter states.
Oh, to run races.
To have, yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's get into things. We wanted to start off with a little bit of old business. So just a couple things from the Star Wars half marathon weekend. We did put on our YouTube channel just a quick video that I shot at the start of just kind of what the pre-race big screen stuff looked like, and then a little,
which is pretty cool.
Has a little clip from mid-race, some of the characters and stuff. So it's not professionally shot or produced. It was just the video that I shot with my iPhone. So if you're super curious what the start looked like, you can check that out, and it gives you a little bit of an idea if you're thinking about doing it in the future. Or if you don't want to be spoiled, if you're going to run it in the future, then don't look at it at all. So that might be a good one. The other thing that we completely forgot to mention about the race, or at least post-race on the half marathon day, was getting back to our hotel. So we had talked about kind of the buses going out to the race that take you to Downtown Disney and stuff. And after the race, we actually walked back over there to hop on our bus to go back to our hotel.
The way we did the day before.
The same we did on the 10K. And for the half marathon, I think we got to the buses at about 8:35. I don't know why that really stuck in my head.
Actually, it was because, yeah. No, I remember that.
And we walked over to the bus, and buses were all parked there. Not a lot of action.
And very close together.
Very close together.
And
so they
some were double parked.
Yeah.
It just looked suspicious.
So we talked to the bus driver, and basically they were being told to wait until at least 9 a.m. And I guess the reason for that is because the way this course lays out, it's actually goes along the same route these buses take to most of the hotels. So there was a lot of traffic for people trying to drive down that road. Down Harbor, right? Trying to get to. So I think they just told the buses basically just to sit and wait a while. And so we ended up just walking back to our hotel. So I think it took us 15, 20 minutes to walk back to our hotel.
Yeah, because remember we got back to our hotel and we looked at our watch and we're like, oh, we got back before the buses even theoretically took off. So
Yeah. So I think that was it for old business. That's all we missed. We did pretty well, I think. So we'll talk a little bit more about Disney at the end and when we get to some feedback. All right, let's get to some news stories. Wanted to mention the Charleston Marathon. Because it was, instead of 26.2, ended up being about 26.4. So a misplaced gate and a weed vehicle that, I don't know, did it miss a turn or make an extra turn? I'm not quite sure, but ended up kind of going the wrong way and turning the race into almost a quarter mile longer than it was supposed to be. Whoops. Somebody made a slight mistake there.
Right.
So I know some of the runners commented that they were kind of thrown off early on when looking at split times, because this was early. I think this was between mile one and two. This must have happened.
Yeah, it was early on.
Because people were talking about their mile two splits being off. So, you know, the race apologized. They're actually going to go out and, or they probably have done it by now, gone out and remeasured to be able to tell people exactly what the course was that they ran. And they're going to try to do some adjustments to times to kind of get an adjusted time. That way, you know, like if you're trying to qualify for Boston, you know, you have a more accurate time.
For the 26.2,
for 26.2
versus 26.4 or 5 or something.
Yeah. So in the article that I read, you know, they said they were going to send that to Boston, you know, for people for qualifying purposes. I don't know officially whether Boston takes that adjusted time or not. That I'm not 100% sure. I would hope that they would, because I think that's, you know, it's not a big difference. But I'm sure there's somebody out there where, you know, that 30 seconds to, you know, 2 minutes is going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
So. All right. Next story. Moving on to the Naples half.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about, or it seems like we're always reading about, you know, runners collapsing or having something happen close to the finish. It's always, most of the time, actually.
That's the danger zone.
It's pretty close to, pretty close to the finish. But some good news here. There was a they call it a fallen runner at the Naples half. A 59-year-old gentleman who actually was somewhat close to the finish line for the half marathon. Collapsed because he had a heart attack. But wait for it. People came and performed CPR, and then an AED defibrillator came on board not too long after, and thankfully he was resuscitated successfully and is doing well. So it's a good ending there.
He's going to be back to physical activity soon and hopes to be back to running in a couple months.
My
favorite thing out of the whole story was he actually joked that hopefully because he ended up that to clear a clogged artery.
Right.
Saying that correctly.
Yeah.
He actually joked that, you know, if he was clogged before and now they cleared it, hopefully that'll that'll take a little bit off his time. So maybe he'll actually be able to run a little bit faster after this. Of course, jokingly, but you know, it kind of shows that he's in the right spirits. And yeah, I think it's super important to realize that, you know, having medical aid immediately there.
Right.
At the finish, obviously makes a massive difference.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, in CPR and CPR trained individuals, I think like some runners and spectators, you know, first helped out before like medical was notified. But after that, of course, you know, medical team helping out and having a defibrillator
yeah.
you know, being able to get to them pretty quickly. I mean, that makes a big difference.
Well, I mean, we know that defibrillators
actually made the difference, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's far more successful, just statistically, than just CPR. Mm-hmm. So,
in that, events like this.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's a massive difference. So, yeah, I'm very happy that we have a positive story where somebody.
Yeah, I know. When I first read it, I was like, oh no, just like the title. But yeah, it definitely has a good ending to it. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Wanted to mention a local race here, in the San Francisco Bay Area, because we talked about it a month ago or 2 months ago. I don't remember. Was the race is called Across the Bay, and it was a race that's been around for a long time and was actually just taken over by kind of new ownership and new mm-hmm. management, basically saving the race because otherwise the race was going to go out of business. So we said we would mention when registration opened, and registration is now open. So it's the 2015 Across the Bay 12K and 415K. So it's a 12K and a 5K. That does go across the Golden Gate Bridge. Long history behind the race, new kind of direction from it. So just want to mention that if you're in, you know, you're local to Northern California, or you're going to be in Northern California at the time. This is in April 26th, I think.
Yeah.
Which we will actually not be at the race because of that's Big Sur.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think we would be there.
Otherwise, we would be there. But yeah, if you're interested.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, for sure. I think next year we'll try to make it out there. If you're interested in registering for the race, we actually have a link on our website that is an affiliate link. So we get a little bit of credit.
So feel free to use it.
Yeah. So if you're going to register anyways, head over to embracerunning.com first before you do that. So other race news, let's talk about Nike.
Yeah. You know, Nike has for the last several years had the women's half marathon out here in San Francisco. They've had the DC race for a couple of years, and now they've made some big announcements as to their expansion for this year's events. Still having a race in San Francisco, but like every other year, they haven't announced when it's going to be. Mm-hmm. They don't until like they're about to open the lottery for it.
Right.
Traditionally, it's been in October, you know, so you would expect sometime in the fall, but they're definitely expanding. I was trying to say expanding and extending at the same time, expanding to some new cities, some of them, including Amsterdam, Berlin, Istanbul, London, Manila, Mexico City, Milan, Stockholm, Toronto. Toronto was one that was talked about a lot. I don't know if that's like the first one in the series, but I saw a lot of talk about that. And then they're also having some other events that they call them Nike Plus Training Club Tour Stops, which after reading a couple of articles, I'm still not clear on what that is, but it's not a race necessarily, a Nike women's race, but something, you know, related. So those include Beijing, Hong Kong, again, Mexico City, Shanghai, Southern California, which who knows where that is, Stockholm,
not very
Sydney,
specific,
Taipei.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely an expansion for them.
Yeah. And I guess the key thing here to take away is international expansion.
Right. Cause absolutely.
If you're
good
in
point.
The U.S., there's not really much added to the possible things you could do, but
yep.
obviously
they actually removed DC. So there's actually
right.
less than you can do.
Yeah. So, but if you are international, this series or, you know, Nike in general, in terms of their races could be coming close to you depending mm-hmm. what country you're in. So,
and they're not all half marathons either. Toronto's 15K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I like 15Ks.
15K?
Yeah.
It's a good distance.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Anything else we want to say about Nike?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Are you doing Nike this coming year? Probably not, huh?
Probably not. No. It's traditionally in October, which you just mentioned
is a
busy month. I already feel like I potentially have most of my weekends in October kind of filled up. And it's just not a race that's on the top of my list right now. So, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to another big name or big brand, I guess, in running.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and Roll Marathon Series. This was actually, we're going to talk about this based on feedback. Actually, Margo, who listens to the show, shot us an email or actually a message this past week about her heavy metal, I guess you could say. Do you want to explain this? Or you?
Sure. So Rock and Roll Series has what they call heavy medals, which are basically special medals that you get for completing multiple races in a calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, what it's traditionally been, if you finish, and they have to be half marathon distance or longer. So half marathon and marathon, that's really the only options in terms of distances. But traditionally it's been, if you complete two in the same calendar year, you get the Rock Encore medal. I'm not going to say all of them, but if you get three, it's Triple Crown.
And it goes all the way up till 10.
Till 10, yeah. And it skips a couple of
numbers
but yeah. So there's like a Grand Slam, there's a Rock Star, that sort of thing. So, what's happened in the past, and we've actually, you know, benefited from this when we've done multiple R&R races in the past, is when you complete the second race, you get that medal sent to you, mailed to you, based on whatever email, or not email, at mailing address that you provided when you registered. It's like 6 to 8 weeks after you complete the race.
Just automatically.
So automatically, just done. And then when you complete like your third one, same thing. Complete your fourth one, same thing. I think once you get to five, you actually pick it up.
In person.
In person after the race.
Yeah, but it just, the year we did it, I think we made it up to Rockstar.
I think so.
Which was five. And we picked that one up in person.
Right. Yeah. But so traditionally, that's just how it's done. Well, apparently in 2014, they instituted this program that you actually had to enroll in to be able to get your heavy medals. However, Margo, along with us and anybody I've actually talked to, had no idea about this program until they were like waiting for their medal to come in the mail, because some of these people having done races in October, and so you gave them the 8 weeks and then see what happens, and then you start kind of doing your research and realize that, oh, now they're doing it based on a program you have to enroll. You don't have to pay any extra, but you basically have to enroll in it or register in it if you're planning on competing more than one rock and roll race in a calendar year. And so some people are missing out on the medals.
Right. So Margo sent us the message because I think she was annoyed and upset because she hadn't received her medals. And based on what it sounded, she wasn't going to receive her medals.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of thinking, you know, did I miss this? Did they say this? Should I have known this? And I'm right there with you in that I had no idea they made this change.
Yeah.
And apparently this change was made in 2014.
Right.
And, you know, I like to think I pay attention to the running scene. That's what we're doing here.
Well, it just seems like somebody would have either told us or we would have heard about it, something.
I'm on their email list. I follow them on Facebook.
Right.
I didn't, you know, it's not like I go to their website every week or anything like that.
Right.
But, and we actually did an R&R race in 2014.
We did too.
And I never saw
anything about that, right?
Or a comment or a post or something. I know I looked today and it's on their website down at the bottom. You can find a link to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of... I'd be annoyed too, just because I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And having run one of the races, I don't think I missed it and you missed it. You know, we reached out to some other people that we know that actually ran multiple R&R races and they didn't know about it.
Mm-mm.
So kind of crazy
to
me in some ways.
Right. And apparently if you email them, you know, about races in the past, you might get your medal, you might not.
Right.
Kind of depends on what they have, because they've actually changed or revamped their heavy metals for this year. So they may be out of inventory for those. So
Yeah. So I think Margo was able to contact them and think she's getting her Encore.
Yeah.
But she's not getting her Triple Crown
because they don't have
them. Don't have any more in stock.
Yep.
Another friend of ours that we contacted, they were emailed R&R and they are going to get their Encore medal.
Yeah.
That's as far as they got.
Right.
We knew somebody else who received their Encore medal in the mail.
And didn't enroll in the program.
So very confusing there. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess if you're going to do an R&R race or you're going to do multiple races, I guess just be aware that you have to sign up for this separately.
Right. Make sure you enroll in the program.
Yeah. And I still don't know, honestly, at this point, if they're not doing a good job of making that people aware of that or if I'm doing a bad job reading the information. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first that I had heard of it when Margo brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I'm on their email list. I get multiple emails from them for different races, and I don't remember ever getting anything like that. I ran two of their races last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't see anything like that. Follow them on Facebook.
Yeah.
So.
And I do find it somewhat annoying that you have to sign up for this as a separate thing.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I haven't, you know, the one we did last year was R&R San Jose, which I didn't see anything. I don't remember seeing anything in the registration about kind of the heavy metals or anything like that. I wouldn't have an issue with it if it was a checkbox maybe on your registration that said, you know, you're registering for your second race. You know, would you like to receive a heavy metal? You know, click here. Or, you know, would you like to enroll in the heavy metal program? Click here. If that was all it was, then I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, you have to go through a whole separate registration process, although it's free, I don't know why they got to make it that difficult. So,
yep.
And I do know, I think it was back in December, they actually had an issue. A bunch of people that were supposed to get Encores in the mail got Triple Crowns, and a bunch of people that were supposed to get Triple Crowns got Encores. So I think they were going to make good on that back in December.
Maybe that's why they ran out of Triple Crowns.
Yeah. So if you're waiting on a heavy metal, you might want to double check with R&R to make sure you actually have one coming. And if you don't have one coming, perhaps plead nicely and hopefully they have some in stock and you can get some.
Get it. Yep. Yeah. But do it soon.
Yeah, because they're running out. And then, yeah, for 2015, they revamped all the medals. Mm-hmm. So if you've done it in the past,
they'll actually be different.
It'll be different going forward, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That does slightly make me more likely to to kind of go after the heavy metals in the future. So they look different, and then some of them are renamed. Or I don't know if they're all renamed, but they're definitely quite a few of them.
Yeah, I think they all are. Which is interesting. You said it makes you more likely to maybe go for heavy metal in the future. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing just kind of makes me less likely.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, the metal itself makes me more likely just because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the trouble of having to, you know, I have to register separately and sign up for this and worry about that. And that makes me less inclined to do it.
Right.
I'm probably the least inclined to do it just because we've done several of the ones that are close to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily feel the need to kind of go back and do them.
Right.
So, I mean, we've done San Francisco. We've done San Jose more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona. So, I don't... San Diego. So, I don't really have the need to kind of go do any of these again. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Wanted to talk about Daily Mile, which I'm sure lots of you know what Daily Mile is. And probably lots of you are on Daily Mile. If you don't have any idea what Daily Mile is, I kind of describe it as the Facebook just for runners. I think it's the best way to describe it. So it's a website that you can go onto, and you can log your miles and share it with other people and encourage other people. You know, you can like other people's runs and give them comments and feedback and give them positive feedback or mm-hmm. encouragement, I think. And I've been on Daily Mile for a long time. But what's cool is they have finally come out with an official app. So if you are on an iOS device, they now finally have an iOS app. It's been a very long time coming. Apparently, this came out right at the beginning of January. And in terms of things, here's another thing I had no idea. I didn't find out about it for 2.5 weeks. And so I don't know if they sent emails or anything, but I never saw it. It's on the website, but I never got an email that said, hey, we have an app now. That would have been nice. But I don't know about this one. I perhaps might have missed it. In the past, you had to use either just the website on your phone, or I know on Android, there's some other apps that can access Daily Mile. I know on iOS, probably an app called Electric Miles is probably the most prevalent one. But now Daily Mile finally has their official app, which is actually pretty slick looking, I think. It does have GPS functionality in it. I wouldn't use it for that at all because it's super basic. And it's actually really, in their attempt to, I think, be stylish looking, it's not the easiest thing to read, the GPS part of it.
Interesting.
But in terms of just following your friends running and kind of looking at your own graph, I think it works really great. And if you're on Android, who knows if they'll ever come up with their own official app there. Because, like I said, I've been waiting for this one for years. I thought it was weird when, I think, was it year and a half ago, they came out with a push-ups app.
Oh, yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
Which was a cool app to track push-ups, but I thought it was weird that they would come with a push-up app before they actually had one to, you know, an official app for their own website. I thought that was kind of very weird. So I think now, you know, having this app on my iPhone, because that's what I use, will be a little easier to kind of check in on Daily mm-hmm. Mile and stuff. So maybe I'll be a little more active on Daily Mile than I have been recently. And it's good to see that they're working on something, because Daily Mile in general has kind of been very stale in terms of development mm-hmm. of the website the last couple years. Still lots of people use it. It's still a great community. But in terms of the development of the website and tools and everything, not super active. The one thing I did notice on the app is there's a little section for coaching, but I don't know if that's coming soon. Yeah, it's on the graphs tab, little section called coaching, and it just says coming soon. So I don't know what the plans they have for development on that. Try to go to their blog on the website, and it doesn't work at all. So.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely cool looking, and it's worth checking out if you're on Daily Mile. I think if you're on an iPhone and you're on Daily Mile, it's probably something you want to throw on your phone for sure. So, all right, let's get into some inspiring stories, or at least one big inspiring story. The East Coast was just hit with a ton of snow. Mm-hmm. So a big blizzard hit the East Coast. So hopefully everybody out on the East Coast is doing well. No major problems. I know one story. And I know Boston area got a ton of snow. I know New York was supposed to have
a ton of snow
and didn't really have a ton of snow. So blame the weatherman. Or the media for blowing that one up a little too much. But I know Boston.
Or both.
But I know Boston and certain parts of the East Coast definitely had a lot of snow. In Boston specifically, it kind of went viral online. Was basically a picture of the Boston finish line.
Mm-hmm.
The street, you know, was covered in snow, and some gentleman went out there and basically took a shovel and cleared the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see is the big finish line, you know, it says finish on the road. It's kind of like spray painted.
Right.
Is it, I don't know what color it is. Is it blue?
It's yellow with a blue writing on it.
And went and kind of just shoveled that out. So it's just a nice kind of big rectangle,
mm-hmm.
the actual finish line. And then it's a cool picture because all the rest of the streets and the sidewalks is covered with snow. And depending on what picture you saw, you either saw just that or you actually see the guy out there with the shovel.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of went viral. It was just kind of an inspiring thing to, you know, somebody took the time and went out there and shoveled it. And, you know, at first nobody knew who the guy was. Eventually we did get his name.
And it's Chris LaDonie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, early on, some people said, oh, you know, this hero went out and, you know, basically shoveled off the Boston Marathon finish line. And he said, you know, he said himself, you know, people saying hero is just completely wrong. He's just, you know, a big fan of the Boston Marathon and, mm-hmm. and kind of what it stands for and what it means.
Right.
And that's kind of what inspired him to kind of do that. So he certainly says that he himself is no hero. So I'll give him even more props just for saying that. So I just thought it was really cool seeing the picture. So. We'll put a link to it. I'll find it somewhere again.
It looks like he's been offered an entry into this year's race.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know. Let's not go with that one. I mean, yeah.
What? No, did you think I was going to say something negative?
Well, yeah.
Oh, no. I was thinking, you know, I'm like, oh, next time there's a snowstorm.
Oh, you're going to go shovel the...
I'm going to go shovel it.
Okay,
just so
you're
going to
hop
entry.
On a plane.
I know.
And fly into an airport that's not open, with that's not accepting flights.
Well, I'll fly in before the storm hits. And I'll wait
and you'll
there.
Be with your shovel. Just shovel. Like waiting.
Have to go buy a shovel.
Got it.
Of course, that might end up... By the time I'm done, that's probably just cheaper to go do a charity entry.
Probably. Probably.
But yeah, kudos to them for giving them the entry. That's really cool. I didn't heard that. So, awesome. All right. Should we move on to a slight topic that we have for today?
Sure.
We're going to talk a little bit about becoming a morning runner,
mm-hmm.
something that I am not good at all. You're extremely good at being a morning runner. You do
well,
a lot
I'm
of
just
runs.
A morning person, too, so that helps.
I'm a morning person.
I function
think.
A lot better in the morning than I do like at night.
I like to say that I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
But not with running at all, for
yeah.
sure. Okay.
Well, I was just thinking about that.
You're like, you're wrong. You're not a morning person at all. But yes, I
think
am.
You're kind of in the middle, is what I would say. I don't know what that would be called.
Okay.
Something between
a lunchtime person?
Sure. Yeah, there you go. Something between a morning person and a night owl.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'll take that, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, so we actually found this over on Running Warehouse, one of our favorite shoe stores, I guess mm-hmm. you should say, over on their blog section. So we'll put a link to this in the show notes, but we're going to kind of run through what this person wrote on becoming a better morning runner, I guess mm-hmm. you should say. So
yeah. So one thing is to think positively. I don't know what I just said. Hold on. Okay. So one thing is to think positively. So if you go to bed at night, you know, the day before or the night before, just, you know, dreading the next run that you're supposed to do in the morning, or, you know, thinking a lot of negative thoughts about it, then you're probably going to be less likely to get up in the morning and actually get that run done. So, you know, thinking positive things about it, you know, maybe you're going to get to run somewhere new. Maybe you're going to see something new. Maybe you're going to meet up with a running partner, whatever it may be. Just think positive thoughts. So you can visualize, I'm adding this part, you can visualize, you know, the run going really well, whatever type run that may be. So
saying to myself, I hate getting up early in the morning. That's not a good way to.
It doesn't help, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, get good sleep. That's pretty straightforward, right? Obvious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Staying up past midnight is not conducive to waking up early and getting your run in. So mm-hmm. sleep is important. What do they say? Seven and a half hours?
I think average.
Average.
I mean, it depends on the person.
Yeah, everybody has their own little zone. But yeah, it's basically a no-brainer is that you have to get, you know, you have to get to sleep.
Right.
So don't stay up watching TV or on your iPad or what else do I do?
Oh, on
wait,
your
I'm
phone.
Not supposed to be talking about myself.
Yeah.
I'm really bad. You know, it's interesting. I was really bad about this last week. I was actually horrible about getting to sleep and I had no reason to be up. You know, there's times where I have a reason to be up late, and last week I had no reason to be up late. So, yeah, I definitely failed at that one. But yeah, number two, get good sleep.
The next one is get the right gear. So if you've always been a day runner and you're running early in the morning and maybe it's still kind of dark, maybe you need to get some different gear, some reflective gear or a headlamp. You know, if you're running in low light or no light. Or the other thing is if you're maybe used to running at the time of day where it's a bit warmer and you're going to be running when it's colder, maybe you need some more cold weather gear.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for me, running in the morning for me would mean running in the dark. So.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, hydrate. That's kind of all the time, right? We mm-hmm. want to be, you know, well hydrated. But I think the one tip that I actually took from this is cold water can also be invigorating if you have a hard time waking up in the morning. So it might be a good idea to, as soon
drink
as you
cold water.
Do get yourself up is, you know, hit that water bottle, hopefully cold right out of the fridge.
Yeah, right into the back of your throat, and that'll wake you up.
No, we don't want to put it on the treadmill.
I guarantee it. That'll wake you up.
No, but I do like the idea, you know, drink that cold water right away as soon as you wake up, and because that definitely does work for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Next one, set out your running gear the night before. It's just one of those things that you'll have to do in the morning. You won't have to start, you know, looking for stuff like, well, where's that? Where are those shoes? Where's this? Where did I put my vest? Whatever it may be, just have it all set and ready to go. That way it's just less time that you have to spend, you know, that morning, and one less excuse or several less excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, I can't find it, or I took too long to find that, you know, so now I don't have time to go. So get all that ready. I actually do that. I'll set like a little pile of clothing mm-hmm. that I need for the next day. It doesn't always get used the next day, but I do have it out. That way it's, I can just grab my clothes and it's already set to go, and that's what I'm going to use. So,
and that's something we should all be used to if you're, you know, if you ever run races, you know, probably you're used to laying out your, you know, your flat runner, and,
yeah.
you know, the night before. So, you know, you just kind of have to take that practice to a regular routine and do it more often. And it's important too, if, you know, if you have a spouse, you don't want to be waking them up every morning, yep. you know, if you're getting up before them.
Right.
So.
Opening a bunch of drawers, turning on a bunch of lights, that sort of thing. Yeah. Just have it. Plus, you also don't want to, if you're not going to turn on the lights, you know, or very many lights, you want to make sure that you look okay when you go out and not have, you know, maybe you thought you grabbed that shirt and it was something different. So,
well, but we said, you know, probably it's probably dark out anyway.
That's so true. So I'm just going to see you. Yeah, that's a good point. Good. Okay. The next one.
Number six, don't let yourself hit snooze.
Mm-hmm. I like how it says not even once.
Yeah, not even once. So an extra, depending on your snooze, 8-10 minutes seems like a great idea. Mm-hmm. Seems like it would be refreshing and helpful. It actually does nothing for you. So don't even bother doing it once.
Yeah.
I think when you do hit the snooze once, it ends up being hitting the snooze twice, mm-hmm. maybe three times, or I will confess to possibly hitting it 4 or 5 times.
That's insane.
I love my snooze button. It's a horrible thing to do, and it's true. It doesn't help at all, but I am very guilty of hitting my snooze button quite often on a regular basis. So
yeah, that's funny. I don't use a snooze button, but sometimes what happens is my alarm will go off, and if I'm not, if you know, I'm like, oh, I'll just, you know, I turn off the alarm. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to like lay here for like a minute or two, and then I'll get up. And the next thing you know, like I wake up and it's like a half hour later. So I'm kind of notorious for doing that. Like, oh, I basically did like my own internal snooze, I guess.
Yeah. So. And this article does make the suggestion, you know, if you have to, you know, put the alarm across the room.
Yeah.
If you use maybe the alarm on your smartphone, that there's a lot of alarm apps now that will actually make you answer a question or do a math problem in order to turn off your alarm.
Well, that's good.
So it kind of forces you, or it stops you from being able to, you know, do that thing where you just roll over and hit the button.
Yeah.
This is, you kind of have to roll over and
kind of wake
answer
up
a question.
Little bit.
And yeah, it kind of wakes you up and gets you going. Yeah. So I've never tried any of those and don't really want to. But.
And maybe don't put your phone right next to your bed. You know, set it
across
like,
the
further
room.
Away. Yeah.
Next one.
Oh, that's me, huh?
Yep.
Find the beauty. So make your early morning runs more enjoyable by finding nearby routes. This is a little bit like what I was mentioning before with like a sunrise view or seeing something new, trying something different. I mean, I think even though it says find the beauty, I think to me it's kind of like just, you know, make it more exciting or just finding something new, mm-hmm. like whether it's a different person that you're going to run with, or maybe you usually run by yourself and you can actually run with a running buddy.
Yeah,
I think that
to,
would help.
It's hard to find somebody to run with on a morning run. I guess for a lot of this, I'm thinking morning run is kind of, you know, your work day,
uh-huh.
which is, I think for a lot of us would be much earlier than our weekend runs.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of hard to find somebody to run with, but if you could, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Some people do. So. Yeah.
And if you could find a sunrise, that would be cool.
That would
too.
Be great.
I think for me, morning runs would have to be out in the dark and probably back home before sunrise. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't even get that opportunity.
Well, maybe not in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8, be persistent. Says this is the most important tip. So habits are formed over time. This article actually says it takes 66 days to form a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I always keep hearing 21 days.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether it's 21 or 66, it definitely takes time. So you kind of just have to keep, you know, if you decided you want to be a morning runner, you know, it's probably going to be an adjustment period and it's probably going to be a little bit of work at the beginning. But over time, if you kind of stick with it, eventually your body and yourself will adjust to it
mm-hmm.
and you will be successful eventually.
Right.
Might take some time. I guess I'd give it, you know, 3 to 6 weeks, I guess.
Yep.
I think if you can keep it going for a month,
then you're probably pretty good
with the routine. So, yeah. So, I mean, if you have any other tips or ideas on how to be an awesome morning runner, mm-hmm. or at least
a morning runner.
And like I said, I've probably, over all the time we've been doing this podcast, I've probably talked about it in the past in making attempts at becoming a morning runner or trying to, you know, work in more runs or more, you know, more miles by going out in the morning. And it's never been a habit that I've been able to get to stick, you know, those weekday morning runs. It's just so hard. And, you know, I can't imagine if you're in a really cold climate and you're going to run outside, that's just torture getting out of bed and going out in the cold environment. So to those that can do it, I think you're awesome. You know, a treadmill at home definitely would make it easier.
Would it?
I would hope so.
Yeah. I think not theoretically really sure. It would. I don't know if it actually would.
True. Very good point.
Because it's like, oh, I could just run whenever.
Yeah. So if you have good suggestions on becoming a morning runner, let us know. We'll share that with everybody. And we'll put a link to this in the show notes. Let's jump to some feedback. We got lots of it.
Incoming message.
So we heard from Carol, who was sorry that she missed the flat nickel-sized chocolate chips that were on the hot chocolate SF course.
They were good.
Yeah, you had some. Mm-hmm. I missed out on them too, Carol, so I'm with you on that. And she also recommended that I get whatever merchandise I can for Boston. And she thinks like I'll grow to love the color. We mentioned that a couple episodes mm-hmm. back. And she still regrets not getting a hat in 2013. So it's not that I don't like the colors necessarily. I think they were just kind of surprising for me. It's not really a big problem or probably going to deter me from buying what I plan to buy.
Are you going to get a hat? We never talked. You never mentioned
I want
a hat.
So,
okay. Yeah. I was just curious.
I want a jacket.
You want one of everything, right?
I want a jacket. I want a shirt. I want a hat. Those are like
the number.
Yeah.
One the number, priorities.
Exactly. Everything okay. else. I don't know that I would get. Of course, once I'm there, I may be like everything, you know, but going to have to, you know, reel myself in. Heard from, Megan, who listened to our episode about the hot chocolate SF also while she was running in Chicago in 36 degree weather. And although it kept her entertained, which I'm glad it did, it actually made her really want some hot chocolate. So hopefully you got some at the end of your run.
Yeah,
some tea or something.
Yeah, the hot chocolate we had at the hot chocolate 15K yeah. was really good. But like I said, I probably won't have any more hot chocolate until maybe next year if I do the race. I've had a, you know, hot chocolate literally twice in the past 2 years, and it was at that race.
Yeah. So,
but it was really, really good.
Yeah, it is really good.
I'm probably not helping Megan out at all.
No, not at all. Especially, yeah, if she's listening to this again while she's running in the cold. Heard from Libby, who completed the Goofy Challenge and had a great time. She shared some pictures with us, so thank you for that. She also kind of did her own version of the Dopey Challenge, and she actually couldn't officially do it because she couldn't take enough time off of work. So she ran a 5K on her own at home, and then a 10K on Thursday, and then a 10K on Friday, and then went in and did the Goofy Challenge over the weekend. So she was excited to hear about our Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend race recap, because she actually will be running the Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend this year. Mm-hmm. So that'll be, she'll be getting the Coast to Coast medal since she did Goofy and then running the Disneyland Half Marathon. It's actually going to be her first time at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
So
that should be fun.
Yeah, have fun. She's, you know, planning to listen to our recap of the Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend, which, in case anybody's wondering, is episode 86, you know, before she heads over there just to kind of get ready for it. And she's also planning to run 3 marathons pretty soon, actually. Well, first half of the year to qualify for Marathon Maniacs. I think she's got 1 in March planned and then 2 in May.
Yeah.
So
let us know when you get it done so we can officially welcome you to the insane asylum.
Exactly. We heard from Bradley, who kind of an interesting one here. He was mm-hmm. sharing his one regret for 2015. How did I put 2015?
I don't know.
Interesting. Well, okay. His one regret from last year. He ran Rock and Roll Savannah as his first full marathon, but didn't get the merchandise at the expo because he hadn't run the race yet, and was planning to get it afterwards, like at the post-race mm-hmm. or finish line merchandise tent, whatever you want to call it, but it actually wasn't there. So didn't get what he had planned on and actually didn't get anything to kind of commemorate his first marathon. So he was just kind of curious what we thought or what we have done in the past in terms of buying finishers, clothing or gear or whatever you want to call it.
At the expo before
you actually complete the race.
Yeah. I mean, first off, I mean, R&R normally has merch after the race, so that's pretty unusual. But I guess if the race merch is kind of important to you, I don't have any problem with buying the stuff at the expo the day before the race, even if it's finisher stuff, because, you know, a lot of races don't ever have that kind of stuff post-race.
Right.
So that's your only shot. Chance to get it. So I have no you know, personally, I don't have any issues with getting that kind of stuff at the expo before the race. The only thing I would say is don't, I don't know. I guess if you don't, for some reason, complete the race, then what do you do with this stuff? Do you still wear, you know, your finisher shirt from the race? Yeah. I think you just have to be prepared that if for some reason you don't finish the race, that's a donate pile shirt. Cause I would feel weird about wearing a finisher shirt that I don't know if I guess in the end, if I'd really care that much, but yeah, I have no problem. The only thing I would say for sure is don't wear it the day before the race.
Like before the actual race?
Because I still remember doing R&R Las Vegas and going to the expo and then being out in Vegas later that day and people were wearing finisher shirts from the race that was going to take place the next day.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
You look a little weird wearing the finisher shirt the day before the race.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, and it wasn't a situation where they wore it out of the expo and it was, they wore it all day long type of thing. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't wear a finisher shirt at the race itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's poor runner etiquette.
Right. Unless you have it in your gear check bag and change into it as soon as you're done.
That would be a really cool way to do it, actually. Yeah. But yeah, so I got no issue. Go ahead and just buy it, you know, if you want it. It's funny because when he sent the message, it actually had me thinking, you know, oh, my first marathon, what kind of stuff did I have?
Yeah.
And all I have for my first marathon is, you know, the official shirt that you get, you know, with registration, the finisher shirt, and that's really it. I don't think I have anything extra from the race.
Yeah, it made me think that too, and I actually don't have anything special for that race. I mean, I have the race shirt, I have the medal, you know, I have pretty much what everybody else got. I don't think I bought anything. No, I didn't. Yeah. Anything special.
So, I mean, it might be good to think about, you know, if you've never done, you know, a half yet or a marathon and you kind of, you know, if that stuff's important to you or you want something to kind of commemorate the event, think about that before you get there, you know, on race weekend, and don't think about that, you know, a week later or anything like that. So
yeah,
I did. That is the one race I think that I actually did. My first marathon was the race I bought my official marathon photo.
Mm-hmm. And I did the same.
Finishing.
Yeah. Have it kind of framed up with a medal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's the only race I've ever done that at. But
yeah,
but yeah, I don't have anything else from the race. So kind of a long answer there, I guess.
Hopefully we made sense and it helped. We heard from Margo, who is hoping to do the Star Wars Half Marathon weekend in the future. She says, even if it breaks the pocketbook, which we did mention that last time in terms of the cost. Yeah.
Especially now she might not be doing any R&R races. So.
There you go. We heard from Patricia, who did the Rebel Challenge, liked the shirts and the costumes. Really enjoyed seeing the sunrise during the half marathon.
Yeah, you had commented on that
too. Yeah, of course. It's funny. She, you know, we had mentioned at the expo that they had the official photographers there to take your photo for the Rebel Challenge, you know, for verification. And she, I guess, at the time didn't realize that that's what it was there for. So kind of asked the photographer if they could take a group picture.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hey, it's another chance to get some free pics. Yeah.
And she also mentioned that her friend and actually fellow listener, Juan, wants to do the Rebel Challenge 10 years in a row so that he can be perfect Rebel, just like people were perfect Goofy this year. Yeah. It was this year, right?
I think so.
That was
so.
The 10th one. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool being, you know, that legacy runner where you've done it every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any interest in being a legacy runner for Star Wars?
No. I enjoyed it, but I don't have any interest in being a legacy runner.
I wouldn't mind. I just
that.
Don't think it's something I could actually keep up for 10 years. For a race that's that expensive, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we heard from Juan.
Yeah, actually Juan.
Yeah. Who thinks we were actually running about a half a mile apart during the half marathon course, just based on our race recap and what we were saying. We were seeing at what mileage, so that's pretty funny if we were like that close together pretty much the whole time. He actually ran Goofy this year and then the Rebel Challenge, so he did get his coast-to-coast medal, and it's not even February yet.
Yeah, I know. So, still in January.
Awesome.
Done with that.
Yeah, and did share a picture of his medal rack with all of those medals on it, which is pretty crazy. So
yeah, the medal rack looks good. I'm assuming it's a medal rack from Allied, it's Allied Metal Displays, right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Because it definitely looks like that. And he has, it's funny because I thought he had a massive one, but I think they're three kind of connected, which looks really cool. But at first, when I first saw the picture, I thought it was one massive one. And I was thinking in my head, I didn't know they did this.
How do I get this?
That was my first reaction. How do I get one of these? But I think it was three kind of attached. So, all right.
Heard from Beth, who is actually following up on the question that I think you posed last time about people who really love Disney, you know, how they actually and run the Disney races, how they feel about like Avengers or Star Wars races. Yeah. So because I think you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
Last time.
I was just thinking, you know, if you're a big Disney fan, you're not a Star Wars, you're not an Avengers, you know, what would you think about doing those races?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she basically confirmed she doesn't really have a huge interest in doing those races.
Right. And she said partly because they're in California and that's a bit of a ways for her to travel. But she said even if they were in Florida, which is closer to her, she actually still has no desire to do those races. So yeah. that's interesting to see that.
And I still think that if you're a massive Disney fan and you could care less about Star Wars and Avengers, I think you would, well, I don't know about Avengers because we haven't done it, but for sure at Star Wars, I think you would feel like you're missing something at the race just because, you know, it really is just all about Star Wars, which, you know, if you're that big Disney fan, you're missing that. So
right.
I just said that like twice.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay.
Do you want to say it one more time?
No, I'm kidding.
I might have missed it. Okay. We heard from Kirsten, who's letting us know about Park Run, which actually is starting at Chrissy Field. So Park Run, a lot of you, if not all of you, probably heard about it. It's a concept kind of starting out of the UK. It's moving into the US and across the world. It's basically usually a weekly 5K put on by, you know, just a group of people. And it's free. So you're able to, and it's put on by, you know, like you volunteer some weeks and you run some weeks. And so it's just a free 5K.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty awesome concept. I think I'd like to try it sometime. I mean, Chrissy Field's in San Francisco, so not terribly far away from us, but, does take a little bit of planning to get to. It's not just, you know, down the street from us.
Right.
So, but I wouldn't mind doing that. Heard from, Ensick, who's asking for a recommendation on a headlamp to use since he runs at night in the early morning.
Yeah, I didn't have a particular model that I could recommend. I mean, I've kind of been a Petzl guy, which
Same
is
here.
A brand for a very long time. Mm-hmm. You too. So,
and I've been very happy with the couple that I've had.
Yeah, I've never had any issues. I've actually put them through their paces quite a bit.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is if you're getting a headlamp for trail running, go as bright as you can go.
Yeah.
Because it will help. If you're kind of just doing city stuff, the brightness becomes less important just because you have city lights and buildings.
Yeah.
You know, it might be dark, but it's not pitch black or anything like
that. Unless you're running somewhere like on a country road where maybe there aren't any lights. Where you're thinking
point.
More like city, town.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of in a rural area.
Yeah. But other than that, I would just get something that's comfortable. I like to use headlamps that use regular batteries and not the rechargeable stuff because I just find it easy to pop in new batteries than remembering to have to plug it in or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
or when you take them for a relay, you can just take extra batteries with you and it's easy to just switch them out if you need to.
But I mean, a headlamp is definitely just important for safety. It's actually very important if you're running at night to have a headlamp. It can definitely keep you out of trouble. I'll actually go on a tangent real quick because sometimes when I come home, there's this one intersection where I always see this guy out for a walk.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
It's
right in the evening,
mm-hmm.
and he always carries a flashlight with him, and he will actually, because he's actually crossing the street with the lights, you know, he's getting the green, you know, walking sign.
Yeah,
but
he's following the traffic.
Yeah, he's following the laws, but there's always cars at this one intersection making a right turn that kind of don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually just shines his light at the driver's face, I think sometimes,
just
to let him know that he's there. And I've seen this guy twice avoid getting hit by a car
by
shining this flashlight at the driver. Otherwise, the driver would have
just gone.
Probably just hit him. So,
yeah.
Very important to kind of be alert and use a light if it's necessary in those situations.
Yeah.
So, but I always see this guy, you know, and it's a couple times I've seen him and it's like, wow, if he didn't have that flashlight, that would have been a problem.
Right.
So,
and I don't think he doesn't do it like in an obnoxious way.
No,
it's just like, hey, I'm right here.
I'm here. Don't hit me.
You know,
please.
Like, oh yeah, I'm right here. And he also, when he walks, I've seen him walk across the street. He actually will kind of move the flashlight from side to side and not necessarily so that he can see, but I think so that we can see the light moving versus like just like a stationary light. So.
Yeah.
That we might ignore, or some people might ignore.
Yeah. So that was my tangent.
So hopefully that helped, Ensick. If not, let us know. If anybody has any really specific recommendations on a specific headlamp, let us know. Heard from David, who ran in the Southern California Half Marathon in Irvine. He got a PR by 7 minutes. That's huge. So congratulations
Big PR.
Yeah. Later on, because he was, you know, very excited about the PR, but later on when he really took a good look at his medal, he noticed that the year on the medal was actually wrong. It actually says 2014, and this was a race that was run in 2015.
Yeah, so it was this month.
Off by a year. It has a correct date otherwise, so it's not like it was an old medal that was used. It was just misprinted or whatever the word is. He did email the organization or directors for the race, but hasn't heard anything back yet. So
yeah, actually, when he sent the message, I actually kind of dove in and did a bunch of research trying to, you know, find out what happened and what people's opinions were, what in the world was going on. And the race seemed, at the time that I looked, the race was silent on the subject. And yeah, it was the wrong year, but apparently, and I don't remember what it was. I'm making up this number, but if it was the 24th annual, that was correct on the medal, if that makes sense. So if it said 24th annual on the medal, that was actually the 24th year.
Yeah.
But the year itself was incorrect. So yeah, you're right. It's not a situation where they reused medals.
Right. Like they had leftover medals and used them or something.
Yeah. And yeah. I saw one comment that somebody said like, oh, they just overlooked it. I don't know how you overlook the year if you're having medals made.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes, I mean, out of all the mistakes you're going to make in terms of a race, I don't know how you mistake the year in getting medals printed.
Although,
up.
I guess you're ordering them when it's 2014. And so maybe you're like, oh, yeah, that's the right year.
That's
except
true.
Except the race is 2015.
Yeah. So yeah. I definitely was searching through comments and a lot of upset people about the medal. I know I certainly would be annoyed. And I was even thinking, I know Kaiser Permanente, I think is, I don't think they have anything to do with race ownership or management, but they're the title sponsor of the race. So, I mean, if I was them, I'd be super annoyed.
Because
you're putting your name on a race that people had a bad experience at.
Right.
For something that's...
being associated with that.
That was really in control of race management. Mm-hmm. I was trying to look at... I couldn't find their actual real Facebook page, which was weird at first.
Maybe they don't have one.
I don't know.
It's possible.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But it was kind of silent online. And it's funny because I was on... they're actually part of the California Half Marathon Series.
Mm-hmm.
And... when on their website, when it lists all the races, it actually has the 2014 logo up still. And I'm like, oh, you guys are going to screw this up. I don't know. I guess that maybe they never even created the 2015 logo.
Maybe that was the problem. Oh, shoot. That was the one thing that we didn't cross off our to-do list.
Yeah.
Create the 2015 logo.
So you have a unique medal. Is it like baseball cards where, you know, in the old days, if you had a baseball card with an error, it was actually worth more money?
Yeah.
So maybe your medal is worth more money
maybe.
Because it's wrong.
It could be.
Okay. We'll hope for that.
It's unique. And then we heard from Dave, different person here, who sent us a picture of the Castaway Key Challenge medal, which looked pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually set a 5K PR there and is getting ready for Napa Valley Marathon, which is in March.
Yeah. Right around the corner.
Yeah. Well, another one that I want to do at some point.
Some point.
Yeah. But just hasn't worked out yet. So. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think that's all the stuff we can get through today. I think we actually had a few messages that we couldn't get to today. But yeah, that's going to do it. Anything else for this week?
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.